Hey, it's Chris from the band Listener. Thanks for tuning in to another Listener Thoughtcast. Today's Thoughtcast has been brought to you by Adam Sandler and Global Climate Change. I'm actually recording this intro from a rental car in Gozo in Malta. I meant to get this episode up while we were on the road, but you know how that goes. Well, maybe you don't. Or maybe you do. I don't really know. So if it sounds a little funny, it's because it's coming through the microphone in my headphones. Thank you, technology. So Listener just finished a short European tour. It was mostly festivals, the few club shows in between. And we had a really great time. We didn't actually visit that many countries on this tour, which is sort of weird for us. But we got to France, Germany, Czech Republic, and Italy. We made a lot of new friends and got to catch up with some old ones. So we had a great time. And I hope anyone that came out to those shows had a good time too. So after tour, John went directly home to help his partner in crime, Cat Willis, continue to kick ass with their vegan pop-up, Deadbeat Tacos. Dan went on for a vacation in Genoa, Italy, and he told me that he has plans to, learn how to cook from a real Italian grandma. So looking forward to hearing how that goes. Like I said, I'm here in Malta soaking up the sun and swimming around like a little baby sea turtle or fish or, you know, whatever you like to picture me swimming as. I like to picture myself as a manatee because they're so cute. Anyway, today's episode features our good friend and coffee guru extraordinaire, Joel Bigelow. Joel goes by many titles: brother, friend, lead barista at Messenger Coffee Shop right back in Kansas City, Missouri, U.S. Coffee Championships semifinalist, and also neighbor. He's my neighbor. He lives in the apartment next to mine. So this conversation, it took us a lot of different places, so I hope you're up for a bit of a journey today. It's a fun journey, but I hope you're up for it. Other than that, our hope is that you have a wonderful day full of love. Here we go.
We don't. I think you can swear, right?
Yeah, we can swear. And I swear, yeah. By the moon and the stars in the sky.
I think I'll be there. I think Greg was the first one to drop the swear bomb. So
yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, you're good. Hey,
swear bombs.
Hey, welcome to another podcast.
Hi. Another Listener Thoughtcast. Chris is here.
You got Dan.
And John.
And we have a mystery guest for you. First, I'd like to just set the scene. Dan and I are on the bed today. John is not on the bed today.
He's on a guitar amp.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Sitting on a, what was it, 66?
66
Fender Princeton.
Yeah, Princeton Reverb.
That's probably fine for it.
Makes a great chair.
For sure. For sure. It's the most expensive chair in my house, but...
I got a handle strap kind of like crossways across my crack.
That's how we
take
want you.
Take that thing off. Get a screwdriver and take that handle.
What we wanted was, John, we wanted you to be a little uncomfortable for today's podcast.
Yeah.
John's not on the bed because he has, quote, a leaky leg.
I've been to a bar called the Leaky Leg before.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that was actually John's nickname in high school, Leaky Leg.
John Leaky Leg Terry.
John Leaky Leg Terry.
What constitutes a leaky leg?
Well, fun fact, when you put your skin on really hot things, it has a tendency to burn them.
That's a good fact.
I burned my leg.
Science.
It's a little PSA for you.
And this is Science Corner.
And now it's trying to heal itself, but just like leaking down my leg. So I thought I would spare Chris's bed for my pussy leaky leg.
And I appreciate that. This is a sacred area. But I would maybe you could anoint it with your pus later.
Okay.
We'll have a ceremony.
Yeah.
Leaky Leg John. Actually, they used to call him LL Cool J.
But it wasn't Ladies Love.
LL Cool J.
Yeah, it wasn't Ladies Love.
Leaky Leg Cool John.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Let's bring it back, guys.
Yeah. So we just wanted to talk about John's high school experience today for about 3 hours.
Summer breeze.
It's really boring.
That's why we're going to go 3 hours on it. Okay. So today, adjacent to the bed, we have a good friend of all three of ours, Joel Bigelow.
Joel's in the house.
Hey, hello.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Are you of any relation to the Bigelow Tea Empire?
I have to say I'm proud when I see my name out there, but no known relation. I would love to get some royalty checks. Or
still waiting on it.
So some compensation at some point.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. What a story that would be.
Yeah.
Unknown heir to the Bigelow Empire.
Yeah.
What's funny is Empire. I started watching Mr. Deeds last night.
Huh.
Speaking of unknown heirs to fortunes.
Mr. Deeds is an unknown heir to a fortune?
I was watching the remake with Adam Sandler. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He's like the last living relative.
Yeah.
I got about 5 minutes in and then went right to sleep. So
I can't remember that movie very much.
I don't think I saw it.
I think it's a good one. It's
I haven't seen it.
You know when Adam Sandler really went on a tear of bad movies for a minute?
Yeah.
Why?
Let's name a few.
Mr. Deeds?
No. What's the one with the Little Nicky?
Little Nicky was
Zohan.
Yikes.
Oh wow.
Yikes.
There was another one in there that was just real cringy.
Huge yikes.
So Click was in there, but I think Click's okay.
I heard Click got super depressing at the end.
Oh, it is.
I never saw Click. It's like the remote control.
Click is one I think that flew over the radar for a lot of people. Yeah.
That's an Adam Sandler comedy?
Yeah, he goes to Bed Bath & Beyond, and he goes to the Beyond section and gets a remote that allows him to like fast forward and rewind his life in real time.
So
it's pretty clever.
Anyway, Deeds was an on the up and up, I think. Pretty good one.
51st States, do we like that one?
I like that one.
Decent.
Yeah.
Decent. Like that one. It was like decent. Yeah. Average plus, maybe.
I'll watch that alone in my bed. But anointing
do you
myself.
Do you feel like it's gotten even worse with like the bit? New the new like straight to Netflix Adam Sandler? It's just like really bad.
I watched
the sad one?
What did I watch the other day? I watched one with him and what's her bucket from Friends?
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh yeah, were they married or something?
Yeah, that he's like a private investigator. Or no, he's a detective.
That already sounds bad.
He's a police officer. This is a spoiler alert for this whatever movie. He's a police officer who's lied to his wife and said he got a promotion to detective, but she doesn't know and he hasn't, and they go on this vacation and then someone gets murdered. It's sort of Clue-ish.
And
they're like trying to figure out who it is.
This is new.
And this is very new. And she's like, you're a detective, figure it out. And
so
he pretends like he is, and, you know, hijinks ensue.
Wow.
But I watched the whole thing, front to back.
Sounds like a bucket full of shenanigans right there.
And I liked it.
Yeah.
There was the Western that was, I couldn't even finish.
Oh so something eight, seven, The Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight is Quentin
Magnificent
Tarantino.
Seven.
Ridiculous Six.
Ridiculous Six.
Ridiculous Six.
Magnificent Seven was the actual movie.
Yeah. It goes Three Strikes You're Out, Fifth Element, Ridiculous Six.
Yeah.
Magnificent Seven. Just the movie Seven.
Seven Samurai.
Hateful Eight. Nine Lives.
You skipped It Takes Two.
My bad. It Takes Two.
One, the musical.
One Direction, that documentary.
Yeah. Cheaper by the Dozen.
Cheaper by the Dozen. What's on 11?
13 Candles.
13th Floor.
Candles. 13th Floor.
Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11, yeah.
Are there any 14 movies?
14? Yeah, Fast and the Furious 14.
Soon. Coming soon. Yeah.
Okay, well, so Joel, you're here because... Because
Adam Sandler is also here.
Because you're an Adam Sandler expert. We wanted to bring him. No, you're here because you're, number one, our friend. Number two, actually my neighbor now.
Yes.
And then so many other things. A brother, a son, a boyfriend.
There's a lot.
There's a lot
of relational dynamics going on here.
Wow. You could go by a lot of titles.
Yeah.
You're a man of many titles.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how we met. That's what I want
to. That's a fun way to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What had happened was Dan and I got added on to a show, like Red Sweater and Dan Smith Solo.
Uh-huh.
We got added on to a show that already had 5 acts. So we brought the total up to 7.
Wow.
Which was insane.
Festival.
Festival style. in a coffee shop. Yeah, in Grandview, Missouri. But it was a Levi the Poet show, and he wanted us to play, and we are good friends with him, so we said yes. Then we got there and found out there were 7 people. And they, what, this is, okay, it doesn't matter. So we play the show, right? I got opinions.
That are gonna, I think it matters.
Stay inside my head.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was going to say, I just feel bad because they bumped the 2 people who were opening the show, like, even earlier.
Yeah.
Like, and put us on after them. And
I think they were fine with it.
I think, I mean, I don't
like
know.
Like 3 p.m.?
Yeah.
Go ahead and start.
Go ahead.
Be quiet. We still have customers here.
3 to 3:30.
As soon as our lunch ends here at 2 p.m., we're going to have you start.
But, you know, we've all done those shows.
Yeah.
Mm.
Salad bar shows.
Yeah. The Thursday matinee show at the Sizzler. Yeah. Everybody here has done that show. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Dan is playing he's going through his set and
all 3 songs. And I said to the audience, hey, I'm working on my house. If anybody wants to come and help me work on some stuff.
We're going to have brunch.
We're going to have brunch. That was the big seller.
Brunch was promised. Okay.
I don't know. Sometimes I just say things, you know, and come up to me afterwards and let's talk if you can help on house stuff. And, you know, mostly a joke. Mostly.
Just
throw it out there. Because I did, there was a guy randomly, I mentioned that this kind of thing at a show in Chicago, and a guy came up to me. He was like, I'm a plumber. If you want, you know, need help plumbing. I was like, yeah, I don't know anything about plumbing. Sounds good. but it was just a, you know, kind of a joke. But that's when we met. You came up and you were like, hey, I'll come and help out. I'm like, what?
You're like, I was like, were you serious about what you said? And you're like, well, are you serious? Literally his response.
Just coming right back at it.
Do you have any experience?
Yeah. What's that looking like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's how we met. Mm-hmm. I mean, the next thing on the docket was literally installing very dangerous gas lines in the basement of my house.
That's right.
So
the next morning, Dan and I meet up at his house to do this gas line. And Joel, we're just like, man, this guy could be a freak.
He could literally be a freak.
He could kill us down here. He could just kill us with, like, annoyingness,
yeah.
You know, annoying, his special annoying powers.
Yeah.
But then he came and we laid this gas line and it was great. We had a great time. We started a plumbing company called 3 Guys Plumbing.
With 3 guys.
3 guys.
There's that's 3 us. Of us. Yeah.
And then we carried a cast iron tub up a set of stairs to the second story, and it was the heaviest thing I've ever.
Yeah. Just to kind of like christen the whole experience.
Just to put a cap on it.
End of the day. Last thing.
Tired from tightening all these pipes.
Yeah, your arms have literally been just over your head holding pipes all day long. Like,
none of us knew anything about doing plumbing or gas lines. I mean, gas lines are so dangerous. I mean, I know it's like low pressure gas, but still, you get a fire on that thing, things blow up. And so our idea was to get like pipe dope, kind of this putty stuff, and tape, and tighten just the hell out of it. Just keep tightening until like the threads are about to bust. And I mean, when John and I were living together, whenever we take showers, sometimes I would smell gas, and I would just be like, what have we done? Like,
that's the stuff. Yeah, you know? I remember that.
But it was some other... I eventually fixed it. It was some other kind of loose...
It was not Three Guys.
No, it wasn't the Three Guys.
It wasn't a work. Three Guys
no,
job.
I eventually figured that out. But every time we take a shower, I'd be like, I smell gas. Jeez, there's going to leak somewhere.
This yeah. Sucks. Like, if you want to take any of the gas lines the Three Guys laid in, like, you're going to have to take the whole thing out as one. Yeah.
They're welded together.
One yes. thing.
Didn't you figure out that the leak was from when you had the water heater, like, professionally installed?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. They put on the wrong... Mm-hmm. fitting or not tight enough or something. Yeah.
What are they doing? I mean,
yeah.
What you're saying is you beat the pros.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who beat the pros?
That's their own job.
The other thing you're saying, back of the mind, is you can't trust anyone.
That's right. Not one bit.
Okay,
that's why we're all sitting facing each other.
Yeah, that's
backs
right.
to the wall.
Backs to the wall. Just a real hot room. It's hot in my apartment. I have one window air conditioning unit, and it is across the whole apartment.
It's really not that bad.
No, I guess it's not that bad. I'm just self-conscious when I have company because, like, I'm fine living this way, you know?
Yeah.
But when you have other people, it's like, well, maybe it should be, like, less than 80 degrees.
Right. I mean, I face the same dilemma.
That's true. Joel knows. He lives in the same exact layout.
What about box fans? Do you have any box fans?
I actually do. Oh. But it's
I'm not saying to break one out. I mean, we're recording, but...
Well,
if you're ever uncomfortable...
Okay.
Okay, that's what's happening here.
So you grew up in Topeka.
Spent some years there, yeah.
And with about 1,000 brothers.
1,000 of them.
And they all have names that start with J.
Yeah, very biblical situation.
Makes it very difficult for me to remember who is who. What was that like?
Well,
all brothers?
Yeah, I have 5 brothers. And I am sitting right in the lower middle. So there's 6 of us.
The lower middle?
We have to, you know, we break it into sets at that point. So... There's 2 middle children at that point, you know. So, it was a pretty wild upbringing. Topeka was like, once I got more high school age, we moved there. But we kind of lived all over Kansas. But we were all like 2.5 years apart, so we all kind of grew up together, and we were all homeschooled as well. And so there was like that whole like tribe mentality, you know, where you're not like breaking up and going. Going through school with your friends, it's like everybody's at the house, you know.
Yeah.
Pros and cons. Yeah, I don't know. I think I just kind of like look back at my upbringing and I'm like, I have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And a lot that, you know, everybody just like has their stuff, you know, that they have to work through.
Yeah.
That's why therapy is great.
Yeah. Some people just have their stuff, and they don't want to be grateful for anything.
True. Yeah.
But, yeah, Topeka was fine. It was, you know, it was for a period of time, and I kind of wish once I, like, moved away that I would have moved away sooner. But. Yeah.
But now you live right next to me in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah.
Why?
I moved to KC to take a job at Messenger Coffee and help them open what is now their flagship cafe. So I moved over here before that opened, which was supposed to open several months before it actually did open. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool to like see the back end of opening a space that's that large. And if you don't know, it's like a 3-story building that was completely in shambles before the company bought it, and they completely redid it and put in this crazy staircase, and it was a huge project that took 3 years. So pretty wild. But yeah, that's why I originally moved to KC.
So you're a coffee guy.
I would go ahead and label myself that. I would put that label.
T-Air Coffee Guy is the headline here. Heir to a tea throne, but you're a coffee guy.
Oh, yeah.
T-Air.
Yeah, we're bringing
T-Air Goes Coffee.
T-Air Go Coffee.
unknown heir to the Bigelow Tea Empire.
There we go. Yeah. Is a coffee guy.
Is a coffee guy.
Yeah.
That's a scandal right there.
Yeah. Tea Heir Coffee Guy would be a really confusing title if you didn't read it, but you just heard it.
Yeah. Almost like, are we starting in Latin?
Like, I was like,
tea is happening here.
There's tea in the air.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're a barista. I don't know, what's your title at Messenger?
Yeah.
Not the titles are important, but
yeah. So
we're definitely gonna judge you by yours.
As you. Yeah, we're gonna label you. We're gonna kind of put you in this little box.
Yeah.
In our minds, mm-hmm. and we're gonna keep you there.
Yeah. Pick a big title.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a big one.
Yeah.
Make it good. So I am the supreme M.
Yes.
We have some political issues there, but supreme emperor or emperor supreme, depending on
okay
where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barista overlord.
Yeah, barista overlord. I have quite a few minions. but I actually, so I wear a few hats, having been there since we opened. So I'm the cafe trainer. I'm a supervisor, which is sort of like a managerial role. It's only like a portion of management, and then like a lead barista. So there's just a lot that goes into that. But from the day to day, I spend the majority of my time on bar at Messenger. Yeah. So to give you an idea. So
unless it's coffee competition season.
Whew.
Let's yeah. talk about. I think a lot of people don't even know that. Because I watched Joel compete. We just had nationals.
Yeah,
right US here. Nationals. Yeah, yep. US nationals right here in Kansas Big. City. And I went and I saw Joel compete, and he was sick. It was amazing. But then when I was telling people about it, I don't think a lot of people know that there's even like competitions about coffee.
Yeah,
it blew their little minds.
Yeah, yeah, coffee competition. It's very like, I don't know. It almost feels underground unless you're like in the community, and then it's like you have this weird thing where like the outside world doesn't really know about you, but then you have celebrities within your community kind of.
Yeah.
Where everybody in specialty coffee like knows these people, you know? Mm-hmm. But they don't really, like anybody in the general public would be like, oh, what? That's fun. Yeah. You guys did a like fun, cute little like thing where like you went and like, oh wow, there's like a world. Oh, like what? Okay. There's like, yeah. that's kind of like water skiing, right? Like world competition of water skiing. You kind of get that. They really make a competition for anything these
yeah,
days.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you could be walking into a bathroom and peeing next to the men's water skiing champion on your left and the barista champion on your right, and you wouldn't even know it.
You wouldn't even know.
You know?
Yeah. You know?
But if you're, like, peeing next to Adam Sandler,
you would know it.
You would know.
World champion comedian.
World champion.
Right. To me, it doesn't seem like coffee competition is, like, your... running, you know, doing sprints to a table to grind by hand, and then you have to sprint to, you know, there's no like it's more like in the food industry, like chefs, like
yeah.
you know, like talking about like elevating a certain food or whatever.
Yeah.
It's more like that, right?
Yes.
Because I didn't know anything about coffee.
Yeah.
I assumed coffee competitions might have an air of, I don't know, for some reason, like running or something, but it does.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with that.
Like one yeah. of those like lumberjack competitions.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, give us a quick synopsis. What do you do? What goes
yeah.
on?
Okay, so there is a competition called Crush the Rush that La Marzocco started doing, but that's a completely different. That's more of like, you know, that's a La Marzocco, which is a company that makes
right.
espresso machines, and they host this tour. This is like what I do is like. The entire community, it's called the Specialty Coffee Association. It's that competition. So, like, it's representing the entire community, basically, is what these competitions are. And so a quick synopsis is basically for barista competition, which is what I do. It's been around since 2002. And fun fact, the first one was like took place in Kansas City.
Wow. All started here.
When they were still doing vanilla lattes for signature drinks.
Yeah.
But
when Kansas City, where they invented coffee.
Wow.
I'm gonna back up on that one.
Especially Coffee Association.
Yeah, gonna back right off on that one. Home of the third way. Oh, that's perfect. So what I do is, essentially, I would select a coffee, and I'm going to be presenting it before a panel of judges as espresso-based beverages. So, espresso milk drink, and then a signature drink based on what I found in that specific coffee, which is partially due to terroir, so like where it was grown, elevation, variety of the coffee, and then you have roast influence, age of the seeds, because that's what coffee is, it's the seed of a plant, and then how I manipulate it as a barista who's working with it in a machine that's pressurized, essentially, which is espresso. So,
okay.
And then on top of that, you have, you know, you're kind of speaking to your peers in the community, and so you're going to be talking about relevant issues on that platform to what's going on in specialty coffee, which we have a lot. A lot of problems that aren't just coffee, but because they affect coffee, you know, environmental concerns where we're not going to really be seeing coffees from certain regions of the world because of climate change, because of the high elevation and it getting too hot for coffee to survive.
Sad.
Yeah.
So this is a huge thing that like, that we're like talking about, and especially coffee right now, because it's affecting us right now.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah,
and for like a lot of people that might not quite understand, like who've only had like Folgers their whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's like a whole nother flavor profile, and that's why it's important.
Yeah,
these different regions end up with like a totally different flavor than
absolutely.
Some other region.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a totally different bean, right? There's like Robusta.
Yeah.
And Arabica?
Yeah, so there's those are the two most known.
Okay.
And then there's like one called it's like Liberica.
Mm-hmm.
But you pretty much only see Arabica and Robusta used, and we only use pretty much Arabica in the US.
Yeah.
Europe has used Robusta to kind of give more body to espresso. But it's like usually more bitter.
Yeah.
Doesn't have as much sweetness, and it can survive at a lower altitude.
Yeah.
Which means it'll be around longer.
That's what I was going to get at.
Yeah. But that's kind of what I'm getting at is that like you're going to lose some of the complexity, nuance, and everything's going to start, you know, tasting less interesting.
Yeah.
So what's the factor of like a higher elevation? How does that factor into coffee's taste?
Yeah. So as coffee plants are growing, so coffee is the cherry essentially of the coffee plant. So inside the cherry is a seed, and then after going through processing, what we do is we toast seeds and roasters, and then we grind the seeds and extract solubles out of those seeds. So going back to this tree or shrub or bush, like whatever, different varieties of coffee look different, that is growing high on a mountain, there's going to be less, depending on what side of the mountain it is, less sun exposure day to day, and then oxygen levels. And so you're going to have coffee growing at a slower rate, which as it grows slower, it tends to get more complex as the longer it takes for it to grow.
Okay.
And so that's like one of those things with high elevation coffees that usually they yield less, but it's more intense, it's more pronounced, I guess, usually.
Okay.
You know, I heard a podcast about bananas, similar to what you're saying, that like bananas, like the world has changed so much, and even like bugs like coming in and destroying different crops, different types of bananas. They were saying, or they were like theorizing that bananas of the past like were much more creamier, more delicious, and we're just having like just some sort of like hint of what past bananas tasted like, you know. And you talking about these beans makes me think, like, you know, we're drinking coffee that in, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, who knows how long it'll take.
No
one will get to taste that again. What else are we gonna miss out on?
Yeah, you know, no, absolutely.
Have we missed out on it?
They're talking about fishless seas by like 2040, I think.
Wow.
Just because of the rate that we're fishing them, the methods that we're fishing them at, plastic in the ocean.
Yeah.
And that, like, the methods are just gnarly. The amount of bycatch you get, like, at either long line fishing or trawling, like, bycatch is just like, we were trying to get fish A, and we got a lot of fish A, but we also got, like, I think it's like 50 or 60% of fish B, C, D. That die in the nets, and then we throw them back. So it's like they're talking about like fishless oceans, like, and the oceans are where like we get most of the oxygen for the Earth. So,
and there's like a critical balance of like what fish eats what fish.
We're exactly
changing that.
Yeah,
absolutely demolishing it. So, that being said.
Where do what's the next big drink in coffee? What should we be ordering at our coffee counters? So,
coffee competitions. Anyway.
Yeah, here we go. Let's get
so you basically
that was a perfect way to kind of like talk about all that, because that actually sort of gets at some of my feelings about it.
So. Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's brutal. I mean, the way we consume things as human beings, especially rich human beings.
So is there any, like, hope on the horizon for coffee? Like, things that could change that would...
Yeah. You know, because coffee is, you know, just a part of the... I mean, essentially, we'd have to, like, change as... like humans, like how we're treating the planet, you know, if we're going to, you know, because basically like the deterioration of our environment is like what's kind of fueling this whole situation that we're facing in coffee. And so, yeah, there's a lot that we can do in coffee, and people are, you know, trying to work on that. Like, Messenger actually this year, they're putting money towards getting an eco pulper put in at a station in Ethiopia that we work with, which is going to save on peak harvest days like 10,000 gallons of water per day, because so much water is involved in doing washed coffee production.
Okay.
Which, for those of you who don't know, like washed coffee is just a way of going back to coffee being the seed of this cherry. It's a way of processing that to get to what we know as coffee. But there's a lot of water that goes into that. And so installing this eco pulper, that's the thing, is like all these measures cost a lot of money, and a lot of farmers are barely making enough to keep their farms open, because that's a whole nother problem that we have with, it's called the sea market. And there's been this issue where, you know, it's a commodity. So we have commodity coffee and specialty coffee. And, you know, a lot of people are selling to Nestle or, you know, Folgers. And the price has been so low that they aren't even making enough to cover what it's taking them to even harvest the coffee, because they're not getting paid enough. So that completely rules out, for the majority of these people, even thinking about doing something that's more environmentally sustainable, you know.
Because they can't even afford to.
Yeah, you can't even afford to, you know.
Any sort of new equipment.
Yeah, or like really, I mean, you're just existing.
Yeah.
You know, you're barely making it. So that's a huge problem. But I think that as far as like hope, I mean, we just need to like wake up, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess there's that hope. You know, what I do as a barista and what has been like so was so interesting to me getting into coffee was being able to like steward this product that, you know, goes through so much work to even get to my hands and is so easy to mess up if there's not care and intention put into it, you know. And I think there's definitely that element of, you know, obviously competing, you know, you're seeking to present the best that you're able to, with coffee. So yeah, there's definitely like, there's a certain level of, excellence that can be achieved, you know, even with lower quality coffee. But again, you know, if your product starting isn't as good, then you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
That's not to say that coffee won't be enjoyed for a long time, but
we need to face the facts that like what we're doing as a species is obviously having a huge impact on a lot of things.
Yes. And just realizing that, like, you know, what I'm living in right now, you know, when I'm in my 40s or 50s,
yeah,
I might not, you know, be able to experience it the same way, you know.
You say we need to wake up. Like, what do you, like, dive into that a little bit. What do you mean by that? Like, is there a way to get coffee to be sustainable?
I think care, you know, like, I would say, like, humanitarian, like, care is kind of like where I would start with that. Like, we need to wake up. And so like caring for each other, you know, I think that sort of, when you start to readjust your mindset to being more empathetic and caring about what's going on with other people and extending that out and like making that sort of like the way you view the world and our ecosystems and all of this, that goes all the way down to like single-use plastic, you know. And like, but it's just like, where is your intention set, and like, are you setting an intention? And so from there, you know, if you're a green coffee buyer and you're showing up to purchase coffee from a farm, you know, you're gonna be like, how can we help, like, how can we make this more sustainable, what can we do, you know? And like, at the end of the day, resource allocation is like a huge thing. And I think it's easy to feel, I've been getting this a lot, where it's like, it feels like no matter how much I do, you know, it's not gonna be enough, like it's too little too late is like the kind of like,
yeah,
the feeling.
We were just talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
About I can't remember the number. I don't want to misquote any more numbers. How like 9 corporations are responsible for like, I can't remember. It's either like 71 or 91% of all greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about here is like climate change. That's what's killing coffee.
Absolutely.
And so we need to fix that problem. But how do we fix that problem?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are like, what, it doesn't matter, you know, if you like ride your bike, because you're just one person and that doesn't, it's not going to change anything. But I think what you're getting at is that like, if like empathy and compassion become like the center pieces from which we live our lives, then everything changes.
Yeah. A lot becomes possible, I think.
But like in this like quote unquote free market capitalist system, like empathy and compassion are not kind of the sun which that rotates
yeah
around.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Something it's profit.
Absolutely
not. It's
yeah profit. And that's why you're seeing coffee farmers not be able to pay enough, you know, to like even replant crops mm-hmm. or reinvest in their farms, or is because it's getting sold on this commodity exchange, and there's a ton of factors that like go into where the price goes on a commodity exchange that I don't fully understand. But it's not working, you know, whatever that is. So, you know, you have stuff like people have been doing this in coffee for a while. And I think coffee is a very interesting industry because you do have a lot of people with like radical notions or, idealists essentially that are drawn to coffee. And so people have been doing things in specialty coffee at the farm level for a long time to like increase sustainability, and there's a lot of that going on, but it's just like it's such a small part of the whole, you know, that
yeah.
I'm like real, you know, and specialty coffee is going more mainstream for sure. As like the older we get, the more awareness is happening. Like even like wrapping back to coffee competitions, like the amount of people that know about it now versus like when I started, yeah. like five-ish years ago, like,
as a direct result of you.
Yeah. All me.
of your fame.
Yeah. It was all me. Yeah.
Which makes sense that you moved to the place where they invented coffee.
Yeah, that I would the home of the third wave. Home of the third wave.
Really a tsunami.
Yeah. It's coming in big.
Yeah.
Grab a rubber hat.
A rubber hat.
You know, like a
what's that? You talking about
like a fisherman's hat.
Yeah. So the hope for coffee and everything else really is just that like people will wake up and see the error of their ways.
Yeah, and start to care. I mean, start to care. Give intention towards things that matter. And, you know, and that's like, that's not even getting into the humanitarian side of it because that's hugely problematic. And just being in coffee on this side, you know, it's like where baristas in larger cities because of gentrification, you know, aren't able to even live close to the shops they work at because, you know, their shops are artisan. And so they're going into these gentrified areas, but baristas are not making enough to support that environment. And then they're serving coffee to, you know, rich people. And it's like, that's debilitating as well, you know.
Yeah.
And fuels that cycle of like kind of feeling hopeless, but yeah, I don't know. So like general like empathy and care all around, I think is like, and that's the tough thing about coffee is, you know, it's one of the tough things and one of the beautiful things is that it's a global product, you know. And you have to have that care, but you have to have that care on both ends, you know,
yeah, across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
We need it for farmers. We need it for baristas. Like, so,
well, speaking of care, I'm going to move us on here so we don't just get, withered into a depressive cycle of how the world is.
Yeah. Cause that's not helpful.
Speaking of care and compassion and empathy, you and your brother turned me onto a book called Radical Acceptance by a gal named Tara Brach.
Yeah. Now, incredible.
Is there what are you into? Are you have any books or albums or movies or anything that's moved you lately that you want to talk about, or do you want to talk about that one?
Oh,
I just wanted to say thank you publicly for that.
Jonathan went down that path before me, and I was very thankful that he turned me on to it. I think one of the most influential books in the past 2 years for me has been it's called The Will to Change by she's a black feminist, her name's Bell Hooks, and The subtitle of the book is called Men, Masculinity, and Love. And in it, she's kind of detailing a lot of what's created the environment that we have with masculine energy in the United States, and a lot of the problems and where they came from. And for me, it was like, and this actually ties into coffee competitions and like the reasons why I was competing. But she kind of goes in and talks about when you're a part of a violent patriarchy, there isn't really room for the male to express vulnerability and to be seen that way. And it's enculturated in the ways that we're raised in the schoolyard and all the way up to adulthood, and what you see in corporate America is sort of the outplay of that with the way that you're kind of like seeking to please the big daddy. And then you have a,
going back to Adam Sandler,
a plethora of other problems that come out of that. But I think that's one of the most influential books that I've read, and I would encourage literally anyone to read it.
Okay, that's Bell Hooks.
Bell Hooks, The Will to Change.
The Will to Change. There's a lot of masculine energy in this room right now.
Yeah.
I think Dan and I were having a conversation about this the other day, because, you know, we had one of those talks that's so uncomfortable for men to have. And I'm sorry, I feel like complaining about anything as a man is like sort of dumb, but it's also, you know, it's legit. We're brought up in a society that like doesn't let us be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and so he and I were having to talk about that, and it's just like, man, it's funny, because when we like go about having those conversations, it's clumsy and it's awkward because we're so not used to doing it. Like my skill set in that area is not refined at all, so it's just like, oh, I gotta do this, and this, you know, you just like put it out there, like I it's just so, it's crazy to be a guy in his mid-30s who is still basically acts like a toddler in being vulnerable with
another man. Yeah, that's absolutely real.
I mean, it's scary because you don't know, even though we're friends, we're best friends, absolutely. Like, you don't know if like another man will accept that or like take care of you when you're being, you know, when you're being vulnerable and like be like,
absolutely.
Oh, I totally feel that too. Or, you know, like be empathetic to that, you know? So it's a scary thing.
And we're talking about two guys who for the last 7 or 8 years have spent like so much time, like more time together than a married couple would.
Yeah.
Like 24 hours a day for like at least 6 months a year. We have been around each other, and it, you know, having those conversations is still kind of weird. I want to read that book.
It's incredible. It was very influential in the way I even thought about my life and the trajectory of it, because it's moving out of that this is never enough, and like I have to prove myself and perform at like, it's performance based versus just being able to enjoy and like partake in something for the sake of the fact that it's beautiful or that it brings you joy. And so that like kind of shifted like why I was even competing, because the first 3 years I was just like running myself into the ground trying to like be as good as I could be. And then the last year I was, you know, last year I was able to just be there and like be present to it. And I think, you know, that was the most rewarding presentation I've ever given. It didn't get me as far, you know, as the one the year before. And that definitely wasn't because of like, I didn't put enough hard work into it, but, it was definitely the most rewarding. And I think it was like, just good to be like there for it, you know?
I really want to make a connection between like this idea of rising above as opposed to being just a part of, because that ties directly into the idea of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, quote unquote, free market capitalism.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to sound like a weird guy who's gone like full communist and is a hippie.
No, so. I think it's really correlates well because it's like that idea. If you just try hard enough, you haven't tried hard enough yet. Yeah. But if you do, you're going to get there.
That's at the bedrock of the whole thing. Yeah. That's at the bedrock.
100%.
And that was like, I didn't even like realize that because I'm just operating out of that pattern because it's been like, I've been enculturated with it. And so when you start to peel back that whole layer after layer and you realize that, oh, I can't just like be here. Like I am always like trying to get somewhere else. And like that's a rough way to live your life. So,
and it's also that whole idea is built on a huge lie that we all start off on some sort of level playing field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
not.
The idea of the founding fathers being like these great guys who like rose up as these peon colonists and fought off, you know, Big Daddy Adam Sandler in Britain, you know, like. Like, it's just a lie.
It's just a lie.
It's just a full-on lie because it's built on the backs of really, really unfortunate things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Slavery is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Native American.
This was this is such a heavy podcast.
Well, it's good.
Wow. Heavy levels in this room full of masculine energy. Yeah. Well, let's wrap up pretty quick. Anybody else got any last questions?
I just sometimes I don't know what to get at a coffee shop, you know. Mm-hmm. Like when I get up there, I like a good taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
What should I be getting?
Well, strawberries and cream. Anything that says
strawberries and cream.
Anything that says strawberries and cream in it, just go for that.
I will say this, and this is you know, KC, we have a lot of really really cool coffee things going on in this town. And so I would say if you're in specialty coffee, it's going to depend on the shop that you're at, because there's certain shops in KC that are doing seasonal drinks really, really well, which that's going to be similar to, if it's coffee-based, what like a competition signature beverage would be, because it's basically taking whatever espresso they're using and they're crafting something, maybe using juice or other things, and creating like an experience for you. So, you know, if you were at Monarch, maybe you might like see what the seasonal drinks are.
Okay.
Cool. Different places are going to do different things really well. I've been drinking a lot of like oat caps lately, oat milk cappuccinos.
Okay.
At Messenger. Yeah, our cappuccinos are really good. If you're wanting something cold, I would get probably like a flash brew.
Okay.
Which, that's just my drink, but like if you're wanting something sweeter, usually like iced mochas are the bomb.
Okay.
If you're into chocolate. So
we're gonna do a little game called 3-2-1.
3-2-1.
Okay. And I want you to name your three favorite non Messenger coffee shops in Kansas City.
Whew. Okay.
3-2-1.
So I just have to do that right now.
You got to do it right now. That's the three in 3-2-1.
Okay.
Good game.
So this is going up to like, it's like third place, second place, first place.
No, it doesn't random order.
Random order. Okay, yeah. I don't have to. Okay, yeah. So second
I should have explained the rules of the game that I just made up.
Yeah. we're going to go with second best.
I told you they didn't have to be in order.
Ah, nice.
Got him.
Second best is the name of a coffee shop here. Okay.
Man, it's really, this is hard because like I feel like I like different ones.
For this can reasons. Change.
So Blip, Blip, it's like so underrated. I feel like, or understated maybe is a better word because of the way that they like present it. But
good rhyme.
It's good. Good coffee. And then I find myself in Oddly Correct a decent bit.
Okay. Second best, Oddly Correct, Blip, in no particular order. Now, two. The two places you most often go out and buy food at.
Oh.
Not a grocery store. Prepared food.
Prepared food. Voltaire and the West Bottoms. Oh, Brewery Imperial.
Brewery Imperial. Okay. Okay. Now, the one... Yeah. Is your top number one favorite thing that I've ever made for you to eat?
Ooh.
That's my favorite question.
This is great.
Joel and I have a lot of dinner times, dinner dates.
Yeah, we do, yeah. I feel like it's going to be one of the curries.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You want to do a 3-2-1, Dan?
Yeah, I'll do a 3-2-1.
Okay. John, give him a 3-2-1.
Three favorite places to get a beer in Kansas City.
Ooh.
Three favorite places to get a beer. Okay. I really like quiet places. So I'm trying to think of some quiet places. I like Beer Kitchen.
Okay.
Good spot.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I like the, what's that place, the Green Room?
Green Room Burgers.
That's, yeah, Green Room Burgers.
I was there the other night.
That's a cool little spot,
yeah.
Kind of,
yeah,
out of the way.
Tucked away.
Yeah, they've got some good beers there sometimes. And I like going to that, they got a good selection. Casey Beer Co.?
Chili's.
Is that the one over in Waldo? What's that?
No,
one?
That's Beer Station.
Beer Station. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Beer Station.
It's. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Beer Station.
Beer
yeah.
Co. is also in Waldo, but
yeah.
they're just
they
the
make
brewery.
The German brews. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Beer Station.
Okay. Top two burritos in Kansas City.
Oh man, I mean, honestly, for me, it's. I love a Poncho's burrito.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
that's rich.
Yeah, I love the. What do I get?
You know, you're getting your money's worth there.
You really are.
Sort of. Like you know, you're getting your money's worth, and you're also gonna pay.
Yes. I like the chorizo breakfast burrito there.
Oh,
make
man.
A good one.
Yeah.
And that last burrito I had from Katz from Deadbeat,
Deadbeat
was so
Tacos.
Good.
Which burrito was it?
It was the one she brought to that show we played at the Rhino.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Nice spice to it.
I think it was carne asada.
Yeah, I
it
think
was so good.
Carne asada.
Vegan.
Deadbeat Tacos vegan. Burritos.
Cool.
Okay.
Favorite meal that I've made for you.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good question.
Yeah,
it's
I had to do it.
You make a great stir fry.
Okay.
Probably one of your stir fries.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I like.
Great. Great 3-2-1.
You wanna do a 3-2-1?
I'll do a 3-2-1. You gonna 3-2-1 me?
Yeah, I'll 3-2-1, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna rapid fire this. I might be wrong. I might think later to myself that was the wrong answer.
Top, what are your favorite three yoga studios here in town?
Maya Yoga is number one. Number two, I'd like to just say is my apartment, because I like a nice home practice.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I also haven't gone to it.
And can people come and practice here?
They can
house?
Come. Yeah, there's a drop-in fee. There's a drop-in fee and a long list of rules.
No spitting on the floor.
No eye contact. No.
No eye contact.
No eye contact if you hear a fart.
Come in, do your practice, and get out.
Uh-huh.
Do your business.
No rules, just right. That's rule number three. And then, you know, I took some classes at Yoga Patch that I really liked.
Yoga Patch.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
I like the idea of Karma Tri Yoga. It's like a donation based thing.
Yeah.
Donation intestinal based yoga.
Yes. Donation intestinal based yoga. But I also like.
You said karma tripe, right?
Karma tripe.
That's what I heard.
Karma tripe. Nice. Karma tripe.
Well, I was like, whoa,
real weird. Well, they don't. You don't. You can't practice on a yoga mat in there. You practice on pig intestines. It's slippery. This is what it is. Okay.
You could have done that on the highway 2 days ago.
Oh,
what?
Zonkas,
what does that mean?
There was a truck passing through downtown, and
full of tripe.
It spilled pig intestine all over the highway.
No, it did not.
This
it
is a vegan nightmare. For sure, nightmare. Did.
There's video of like what are those called? Like a bulldozer with like the big scoop on for like scooping
this
it off the highway.
Is a true vegan nightmare.
Oh wow.
I can just hear all the morning radio DJs like talking
just
about
it. Just having a heyday.
Just let it be out there. It'll get hot and sizzle. We'll have free bacon for everybody. We should have a morning radio show.
Yeah, we should.
You guys should. 100%.
Okay.
Two vegan restaurants that serve like all vegan food.
Anywhere?
In Kansas City.
In Kansas City?
Is that possible?
I don't even know if there's two. Well, there's like there's okay. Cafe Gratitude, Mud Pie's all vegan.
Okay.
It's like a coffee shop and bakery. Deadbeat Tacos, that's all vegan.
Yeah.
But really I'm going to give it up to RIP Food.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Used to be a restaurant called Food. Heard one of the owners went completely insane. It was like a weird. Anyway, we don't need to talk about it. It was the best.
It was great. Those nachos.
Dude, just like inviting environment. Like, you know how you go to a vegan restaurant and it's either like, this is going to sound real judgmental, but we're just getting real.
That's going to be real.
Get
accurate,
real.
Though.
AM 1:30. In the morning.
Tripe.
Tripe. Home of the tripe stripe. You go to a vegan restaurant, and it's either like way too granola or it's way too like rich person expensive, pretty much.
It's like $30 for three pieces of lettuce.
Absolutely. It's always the raw ones. Like you go into a vegan place and it's like you order $30 worth of food and it's like two raw crackers and with some weird paste on it and you're like, God damn it.
I'm still hungry.
Yeah.
I'm going to Taco Bell after this.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I'm still hungry and I just dropped $30 and
that's the worst meal experience.
It's such a bummer.
I hate those.
Really.
Yeah. I hate those meal experiences.
Food struck the perfect balance between like granola and like white person vegan. Anyway.
What is one sport that, aside from maybe baseball, what's another sport that you would want to play professionally?
A sport that I would want to play professionally besides baseball?
Yeah, besides baseball.
Why besides baseball?
I don't know. Because I think you'd pick baseball. I want to hear another
sport. I would
sport.
Pick baseball. First off, I would pick baseball, and I would pick being a first base coach.
Nice.
I mean, it'd be great to be on the team and like competing, but I'm too realistic for that right now. In this game of fantasies,
seems like a really
is there any other sport
position.
Or baseball?
There's form. Totally. I mean, any professional sport would be sick to be playing at, but I would love, and this may sound weird because I love hockey more than this sport, but I think I would love to be a basketball player, and I don't even watch that much basketball, but I think it'd be super cool to be a basketball player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's or maybe good. Just like a team coach. No, not a team coach. Maybe like a doctor, team doctor.
That'd be sweet.
A water boy, going back to Adam Sandler.
Nice. Tie it all back together.
to wrap it in a neat little bow.
This episode brought to you by Adam Sandler.
this is sponsored by Adam Sandler. So, okay.
That's good.
Let's give John a 3-2-1.
Yeah.
3-2 would be.
Joel, are you going to 3-2-1 him?
Yeah.
Let's go. All right. Top three 90s films.
Oh, that's wow.
That's
he came out swinging.
Holy. Good luck.
The first thing that pops into my mind, and I think it's probably on my list, is Jurassic Park.
Mm. Strong.
Just, yeah, for so many reasons. That movie was in the theater for like a solid 2 or 3 years. Like in the theaters.
I saw it in the theater.
Wow.
I saw it like 7 or 8 times in the theater. Which is crazy. To think back now, like movies don't stay in theaters very long.
Definitely not.
But back in the day, they were there forever if they were good. 90s. Like Mighty Ducks, maybe?
Mm.
Good one.
Classic.
Just because I watched it recently, probably. I'm going to think back on this.
I picked a hard question.
Not be happy with my choices. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Party on. Party on, girl.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Wayne. Party on, girl.
Yeah, Bill and Ted, yeah.
All right. Two favorite beverages. Two most favorite beverages.
Beverages. Man, a really good, like, fruity coffee is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Like a natural.
And it's like, how do I wake up without coffee?
Yes.
Which is probably a problem, but I'm going to ignore
just
it.
Just don't think about it.
Exactly. Yesterday, I had a tall glass of Arnold Palmer.
Mm.
That was just so good on a hot summer day.
Arnie Palmy alert.
Nice.
That's very good.
Nice. Let's see. Favorite place that you've ever been?
Recently, I went to the City Museum in St. Louis, and I can't remember any place in the world that is like that, that is that amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
That's
cool.
It's just 3 hours away.
It's mind blowing. I felt like a kid again, which was pretty fun.
Great. 3-2-1, everybody. Way to go!
Wow.
Made it to 3-2-1.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
That's a wrap.
That's maybe more than the time we have.
But that's the time.
Yeah. Great job, Joel. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Joel.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
thanks for coming over.
We appreciate it. I mean, you made the long trek from your apartment to mine.
Yeah,
you
get your cab. Those two sets of stairs.
Yeah, you had to go down 3 flights and up 3 flights.
I made it.
That's commitment.
I'm happy I'm here.
Yeah,
great work.
Sweaty and all.
Ah, sweaty and all. Well, that's LL Cool J signing off.
Later.
See ya.